Well, good morning, dear brethren.
Good morning.
Beautiful day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice in it. Be glad. Try and limit myself on the coughing and things like that, but we're considering in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, of course, we remember the Apostle Paul went through all the ancient worthies, and many of the ancient worthies, not all of them, but many of the ancient worthies, and the testimony that they displayed in their walk of righteousness that they attested to their faithfulness. And in the 12th chapter, he says, "Wherefore, seeing also are ye compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, these ancient worthies, let us not lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run the race with patience, the race that is set before us." And our theme text is the next two verses. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finish of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God, the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Yes, Jesus is the head of the church. He was the first to experience the resurrection to the divine nature, the firstborn of his brethren. And he has promised us grace, strength, and support to finish our walk of faith, that we may share the joy that he had in the prospect of fulfilling the Heavenly Father's plan, and that not only for himself, but for his brethren, who would share in his sacrifice, as well as share in the prospect of redeeming the entire race of mankind. He willingly laid down his life, as you have covenanted also to do, and which you will symbolize tonight. And now, he is realizing that joy at the right hand of the Heavenly Father. For this reason, we need to consider him, reflect on his life, to bolster our faith, to give us courage to finish our course to the end of our way, our walk. Today, with the prospect of the memorial tonight, we are going to consider and reflect upon our Lord in the aspect of the prophecies of the Old Testament. Now, these prophecies tell of his origin, his birth, his death, his life, his resurrection, ascension, his second advent, and the ultimate everlasting dominion that he will have. Now recall, he had a perfect mind. He had perfect recall. We can't even imagine that. And realize that the scriptures applied, the scripture that he knew applied to him and his life and his future work. Well, our first consideration deals with the origin of our Lord as the Logos, the one responsible for carrying out the Father's plan for mankind, the direct creation of the Father, and so to speak, the chief builder of the head architect. In Proverbs 8, we're going to be reading a lot of scriptures, so this is, but we'll try and give those as we go along. Proverbs 8, 22 through 31. "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever earth was. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no foundations abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundation of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable parts of the earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now this psalm is talking of the wisdom of Jehovah, who planned from the beginning the creation of the heavens and the earth. But it specifically personifies Christ as the beginning of that creation and the wonderful relationship he shared with the Father. He was daily his delight, and he, the Son, rejoiced always before him. Now, can we not wonder at the time of his earthly life that he was in prayer and communion with the Father, sometimes throughout the night. And he rejoiced in the product of his creation. Man, the direct image of the Heavenly Father, with similar mental powers of reason and memory, judgment and will, and moral qualities of justice, benevolence, and love. In the 89th Psalm, we read of our Lord's preeminence as the firstborn of the Father and his ultimate redeemed and restored human family. Psalm 89:27-29. And I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep him forever, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed will I make endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. Our Lord, as the firstborn of the Heavenly Father, was commissioned to create not only the earth for man's habitation, but the entire universe, including the angelic hosts of heaven. We're reminded of this wonderful beauty of his creation in Psalm 19:1-4. The heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utter his speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. The heavens indeed declare his glory. Man has yet to see the bounds and beauty of the universe, so far only able to see or view 15 billion years, light years in the past. When we were in Chicago last year, we had the privilege of visiting the planetarium. Brother Larry Chupik, Sister Esther Martin's son, gave us a personal tour of the building and the displays of the wonders of the universe. It's hard to describe the beauty that was shown and the handiwork, and we would recommend it to all. Our next consideration comes at a time when the creation of man, that is Adam and Eve, sin entered and death resulted not only on the pair, but on all posterity. And yet the promise was given to Eve that her seed would bruise the serpent's head. In Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. In other words, the prophetic Messiah, the seed of the woman, would bruise the head of Satan, crush out evil completely in due time. The seed was the blessed seed of promise to Abraham for his faithfulness and obedience in not withholding his only son. In Genesis 22:16-18, and said, I by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thine son, thine only son, then in blessing I will bless thee. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seeds as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And thy seed shall all the and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. The seed was to come from the tribe of Judah, Genesis 49:10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor our lawgiver between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Yet time passed, and a further promise of a deliverer was declared to be of the lineage of one of their kings, David, a man after God's own heart. Jeremiah 23:5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise up unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. But how could a redeemer come from the tribe of Judah and of the lineage of David, seeing that through the fall into sin, not one of their children could redeem them and bring them to life again? In Psalm 49:7, we read that none can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. And in Psalm 14:3, for they are all gone aside, they are altogether become filthy, and there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Even our Heavenly Father saw man's dilemma, as we read in Ezekiel 18:32. For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore turn and live ye. What was man to do? Nothing. For he could do nothing. But the Heavenly Father could, in that he would provide a Redeemer. One who would bring back life to the fallen race. We read of this man in Job 33:23-24. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him, and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. In reprint 5402, the pastor says, here he shows the one thing necessary to man's recovery from the power of death and his restoration to divine favor, saying, quote, if there be with him a messenger as defender, one of a thousand, that is a rare one, to declare his own righteousness for man, then will God be gracious unto him, that is man, and say, release him from going down to the grave. I have found a ransom. Unquote. This is indeed the case with man. God's wisdom and justice cannot be impugned. The sentence of death is justly upon all men through the Father Adam. But God has provided us a Redeemer, Christ Jesus our Lord, and he, in harmony with the Father's plan, became a man, and then gave himself a ransom price for all by paying the death penalty that was upon Adam. Yes, this ransom had been planned before man entered on the scene. In 1 Peter 1, 18-20, we read, for as much as ye know that you were redeemed not with corruptible things, as silver and gold, but from your own vain conversation received by the traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. This gift, and the result of this gift, was pictured in the Atonement Day sacrifice, held each year for the remission of sins of Israel. In the Father's wisdom, since man was tainted with sin, no man would be suited to be a ransom for man. Therefore he gave his only begotten Son, pictured as the Lamb of God, the opportunity to be man's Redeemer by becoming a human being born of a woman. In Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, or God is with us. We're even told where he would be born. In Micah 5:2, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, out of thee shall he come forth unto me, to be a ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting. After his birth, we are told of the gifts of the wise men of gold, myrrh, and frankincense in light of his birth. Even though these prophecies will be entirely fulfilled in the millennial kingdom, they were literally fulfilled at his birth. In Psalm 72:10, the kings of Tarshish and the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. And in Isaiah 60:6, the multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Medan and Ephrah. All they from Sheba shall come, and they shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. Well, soon after his birth, God informed the little family in a dream to flee to Egypt to escape the persecution brought upon by Herod's jealousy, that the throne would fall into the family of other than his. This prophecy is given in Hosea 11:1. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Well, Herod's brutal murder of the children of Israel is described by Jeremiah in Jeremiah 31:15. Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. However, the Lord also prophesied the deliverance from death, the land of the enemy, in the next verse. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping, and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord. And they shall come again from the land of the enemy. Jesus' parents brought him back to Israel, but not to Bethlehem. They took him north to Nazareth, and he was thought to be a Nazarene. What was peculiar about that? Well, it was a city of Galilee, on the boundaries of the two tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali. We are told of this area in the prophecy of Isaiah, Isaiah 9:1-2. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the ways of the sea, beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them the light shined. This area of Galilee, which means circle, implies that the land would be encircled by Gentiles. And so it was. To the south were Samaritans, cutting it off from the land of Judah, considered to be that of religious thought, the center of religious thought. Thus were they were believed to be in darkness, the shadow of death. Is there any wonder the prospective apostle Bartholomew said, quote, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Unquote. Nevertheless, it was here that our Lord did most of his mighty work, described to be a great light that shined. However, he was disesteemed of men, that the prophecy of Isaiah might be fulfilled in Isaiah 53:3. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. At the age of 30, he was considered of adult age, an age specified in the Old Testament that one as a priest could do the work of the tabernacle, and thus he was baptized. Numbers 4:3. From 30 years old and upward, even to 50 years old, all that enter the host to do the work of the tabernacle, the congregation. It was at this point that John the Baptizer, Jesus' cousin, was on the scene to introduce the Lamb of God to those who would hear. John was prophesied of in Malachi as a messenger sent from God. He foretold the messenger of the covenant of our Lord. Malachi 3:1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come into his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. It was then that our Lord symbolized his life in death. There he gave his all in consecration to the Heavenly Father in fulfillment of David's prophecy, Psalm 40:7. Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. It was at this point Jesus was considered the Christ, the Anointed One. And that right on time, at the end of the 69 weeks, 483 years from the commandment to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem in 455, as prophesied by Daniel in Daniel 9:25. Know therefore and understand that from going forth the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah, that is the Anointed, the Prince shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks, and the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. His life as a new creature began there, and his message was to preach the gospel, or good news. And what was that news? In Isaiah 61:1-2, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. To the multitudes he spoke in parables, for it was only for his followers to know the mysteries of the kingdom at this time. The day of visitation of the world would be later in the millennial kingdom. In Psalm 78:2 we read, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. He reflected on the teachings of the Old Testament in many of his sermons, among them the law of love, summed up in the two great commandments of the law, in Deuteronomy 6:5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And Leviticus 19:18. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. His lessons reflected on the various character traits which we must develop as our Christian walk. That of mercy in Hosea 6:6, for I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. That of patience in Zephaniah 3:8, therefore wait upon the Lord, therefore wait upon me, saith the Lord, unto the day that I rise up for the prey, for my determination to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, and pour upon them my indignation, even my fierce anger. Meekness, Psalm 22:26. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. Faith, Habakkuk 2:4. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Qualities of goodness and virtue, Psalm 23:6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Righteousness, Psalm 7:8. The Lord shall judge his people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity that is in me. And also in Psalm 11:7. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, his countenance doth behold the upright. Nevertheless, he showed his unwavering fortitude in the condemnation of the teachings of the scribes and Pharisees. In Isaiah 29:13, wherefore the Lord said, Forasmuch as the people draw me with their mouth, and their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart from me, for their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men. He gathered those faithful ones who would constitute the little flock, as he gathered those faithful disciples who would ultimately receive the Pentecostal blessing. In Psalm 50:5, gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. In prospect of the coming millennial age and things to come, our Lord performed many miracles, some of which were prophesied in the Old Testament, healing of the blind, curing the lame, curing diseases, and even raising the dead to life. In Isaiah 35:5-6, Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall the waters break forth, and streams in the desert. And Isaiah 53:4, surely hath borne our griefs, our diseases, and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And Isaiah 42:7, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. His constant thought was of the coming kingdom, yet it was to be after a time of trouble. And Haggai 2:6-7, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will also shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with the glory of the Lord of hosts. That theme was constantly declared by our Lord, that the kingdom would bring blessings to all the families of the earth through the promise of the new covenant. And Jeremiah 31:31-34, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. However, he knew that this new covenant was to be through the sacrifice of his life, made in his blood. From the services of the tabernacle, which were very specific and required to be performed to the letter, he knew the death of the bullock, signifying the death and blood not of a bullock, but of a perfect man himself, was required for the atonement and sins of fallen man. In Leviticus 16:6, and Aaron shall offer his bullock upon the sin offering, which is for himself, make an atonement for himself and for his house. He, as Paul points out in Hebrews, was appointed to die as a ransom for Adam. Hebrews 8:5, who serve under the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God, when that he was about to make the tabernacle, foresee, saith he, that they'll make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. And Hebrews 9:11-12, but Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he hath entered once into the holy place, having attained eternal redemption for us. And Hosea 13:14, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. According to the workings of the time clock, our Lord, on the 10th day of Nisan, the same day the Jewish nation was to bring their Paschal lamb into their home, he rode into Jerusalem on the foal of an ass, a sign to Israel of a king. In Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just, and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon the foal of an ass. And they strawed the way with palm branches, and spread their garments as greeting a king, and cried, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, according to the prophecy of Psalm 118:26. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. The palm and tree branches were a reminder of the Feast of Tabernacles, which represented in the fall of the year after the Atonement Day the liberty and joy and blessings which would come to all the Lord's people passed over through their faith in his blood. We read of this practice in Leviticus 23:40. And shall take of you the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. The garments spread were a gesture made in respect to kings. In 2 Kings 9:13 we read, then they hasted and took every man his garment and put it under him on the top of the stairs and blew the trumpets, saying, Jehu is king. It was then, as he looked over the city of Jerusalem, he grieved at their fallen condition and declared their house desolate. The timing and curse was related to us in Daniel and Jeremiah. It occurred in the middle of the 70th week, the spring of 33 AD, on the 10th day of Nisan. Daniel 9:26-27. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week shall they cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. For the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. And in Jeremiah 22:5, but if you will not hear these words, I swear unto myself, saith the Lord, that this house shall become a desolation. It was also on this day that our Lord cleansed the temple of the money changers and declared the purpose of the temple according to the testimony of Isaiah and Jeremiah, Isaiah 56:7. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them a joyful in the house of my prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. And in Jeremiah 7:11, is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even if I have seen it, saith the Lord. It was on the 14th day of Nisan that the nation of Israel was to hold the Passover. And our Lord, according with the law, brought his disciples together to celebrate the supper in preparation for them to realize that the Lamb represented himself and would soon be slain. In Exodus 12:5-6, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it into your the sheep or from the goats, and shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. After the supper ended, there would be one of his followers whom he loved who would betray him for 30 pieces of silver, as prophesied in Psalms and Zechariah. Their testimony also told of us this money would be used for a potter's field. Psalm 41:9. Yea, mine own familiar friend, whom I've trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. And in Psalm 55:12-14, for it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it him that hateth me, did it magnify against me. Then I would have hid myself from him, but it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked in the house of God in company. And in Zechariah 11:12-13, and he said unto them, if you think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was prized at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast it to the potter in the house of the Lord. Our Lord then held the memorial of his coming death and the opportunity pictured in the emblems taken from the Passover Supper for his disciples to participate with him in that sacrifice of himself. In so doing, they had the opportunity of sharing not only in that sacrifice, but sharing in his exaltation to the divine nature. This aspect of the memorial is referred to only vaguely in the Abrahamic promise that in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thy seeds as the stars of heaven, and as the sand of the sea, which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. After the memorial, they went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, reflect, and rest before the trial of the following day. For he was hated without cause, as prophesied in Psalm 69:4. They that hate me without cause are more than the hairs of my head. They that would destroy me, being my enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. He was arrested and eventually brought before Pilate. And after he was told of the accusation against him, he opened not his mouth, as told of us in Isaiah 53:7. He was oppressed and afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, the sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was sentenced to crucifixion and taken to the hill of Golgotha, the place of the skull, as prophesied in Isaiah 53:8. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was placed on the cross, not only to be a ransom for Adam, but to redeem the Jewish nation for the transgression of the law, for which they were under a double condemnation. In Deuteronomy 21:23, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt not in any wise bury him that day, for he is hanged and is accursed of God. That the land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth unto thee for an inheritance. And Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. As he was crucified, they pierced his feet and his hands, and cast lots for his vesture, and parted his garments, as told by David in the Psalms, Psalms 22:16-18. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they have pierced my hands and my feet, I may tell of all my bones. They took and stare upon me, they parted my garments among them, and cast lots upon my vesture. On the cross, when he thirsted, he was offered vinegar and gall. It's a portion of poisoned hemlock, which he refused, choosing rather to suffer the full effects of death. And this is again told us in the Psalm by David in the Psalms 69:21. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. On the cross, between the two felons, he cried out when he unexpectedly realized the Heavenly Father's face turned from him in order to finish his course, faithful unto the end, offering his soul in death. These words were recorded in the Psalms by David and by Isaiah. Psalm 22:1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Psalm 31:5, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. And in 53:12, therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Not a bone was broken, contrary to the normal crucifixion, since the soldiers determined him dead. Psalm 34:20. He keepeth all of his bones, not one of them is broken. Yet he was pierced in full view of the spectators. Among them were the scribes and Pharisees. We read in Zechariah of their remorse to be realized in the millennial day. In Zechariah 12:10, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. Then they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus carried him from the cross and prepared him with spices and laid him in a garden, sepulcher never before used. This prophesied again in Isaiah 53:9. "And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was deceit in his mouth." As spoken by our Lord, that he would, like Jonah in the whale, belly of the whale for 3 days and nights, so he would likewise be in the heart of the earth. He was raised to the divine nature the third day. In Jonah 1:17, "Now the Lord hath prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." His resurrection was foretold by David in Psalms, that his soul or his being as a new creature would not remain in hell or the grave or oblivion, and that his body would not see corruption but was miraculously taken. In Psalm 16:10, For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell or Sheol, oblivion, neither shalt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." And what were the results for his faithfulness? Again, Isaiah gives us a glimpse of this reward in Isaiah 53:10-11. "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, then he shall see his seed and shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." Yes, not only will he divide the spoils, all the heavenly glories and privileges of blessing mankind with the strong, you and I, dear brethren, as long as we remain faithful to our covenant, which we will symbolize tonight. Our resurrection is told of in Hosea 6:2. "And after 2 days, while our Lord gave his life in the 5,000-year day, the 6th ended in 1874, he will revive us on the 3rd day." That's the 7,000-year day, the millennial day. "He will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight." Yes, to bless all the families of the earth. This time of his second presence, trouble and resurrection of those that sleep, not only of the saints, but the remainder of mankind, was foretold by in Daniel. Daniel 12:1-3. "And at that time shall Michael," or who is God, "shall stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time, and at that time shall thy people be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life," the church, "and some to everlasting shame," contempt. That's fourth age lasting, not everlasting. And that's the world of mankind. "And they that shall be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." As in the words of the hymn, "Oh, the prospect, it is so rewarding. Yes, mankind will praise the Heavenly Father as recorded in Isaiah 25:9. And it should be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him, and we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. In Isaiah 35:8-10. And a highway shall be there, a way, and shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those the wayfaring men, no fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go thereupon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk walk there, and the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. What a blessed time. May the Lord add his blessing, and may he truly bless you tonight in your covenant, a sacrifice to be dead with him, that you may receive that well done and enter into those eternal joys of the Lord. May the Lord bless you.